everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Giant Take Podcast, a brand new episode, a brand new week. But this week is more significant than others. The week of the 2024 NFL Draft is right now, and what we have for you in today's episode is our New York Giants mock draft 3.0 with a twist, with a trade once again. We are super excited to bring to you our third and last mock draft of this 2024 offseason. For anyone who is new here, my name is Josh, and I am joined by my friend and co-host Alex. We are hoping to get you one more on Wednesday, the day before the first round, just kind of giving our final preview out there after all of the rumors, and we would assume everything comes out like for one final time before the actual draft. And then, you know, on Thursday, it'll be a whirlwind of information. But for right now, Alex, it's coming to an end. One final week of coverage here on this podcast. And, you know, it does kind of feel a little bittersweet at the end of things with all this previewing, because these college prospects that we've talked about for months now finally become pros. First of all, how are you doing today? And I guess your thoughts on this final 4 days that we have here, this little stretch.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of crazy. You know, when you start covering the draft for so long and, you know, you're just spending a lot of time, you know, researching the prospects and all that, and then finally draft week just gets here randomly. It's definitely an interesting thing, to say the least. You know, it just feels like it flies by, and I'm excited. Of course, we're in misdirection week. We're in, you know, deception week, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, I guess that's fun for people who love the rumors. And not so fun for others who, you know, think it's the truth. But yeah, I always enjoy the rumors, and I usually try to figure it out, you know, based on what the rumor is, what are they actually trying to go for and all that. So, you know, of course, I'm excited for the Giants, but I also love, you know, looking at other teams, seeing what they're doing also. So overall, you know, doing well, excited for draft week. And, you know, I guess I'm just really excited, and I kind of am so interested to see what the Giants do, at least early on in this draft, because I really have no idea at this point. I've been reading through the rumors, reading through what people say, and I still don't have any idea what they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either. The quarterback and wide receiver position, it seems like, is what's going back and forth right now in people's heads, but it's just a matter of who is available quarterback-wise at six if the New York Giants wanted to do that. And it really seems to be like J.J. McCarthy is the guy there. But if a quarterback is not the route the Giants want to go, it's a wide receiver, and it's either Malik Nabers or it's Rome Odunze. And I feel like those guys are kind of a toss-up in between both. You know, a lot of people, if not all the draft experts, are saying in their rankings of the top wide receivers that it's Malik Nabers over Rome Odunze. But I feel like in the moment, that can very much be a coin flip if the Giants have both of those wide receivers at their disposal at number six where they can select. I don't think that'll be the case. I feel like at least one of them is going to be gone by then. But who knows? Teams might trade up for other assets. The Vikings might trade up for J.J. McCarthy. We have no clue what will happen. And that's the fun part, but that's also the scary part of this draft period. And with that being said, Alex, I know you were talking about a little bit before the show. There is something you wanted to bring up before we get to the mock draft here. I'll give you your the floor to do that now.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's a million different things going on social media, whatever that may be. But Ryan Dunleavy, obviously a very respected reporter, I think, now in the Giants space, now has, I think, pretty much broken a couple or kind of predicted or hinted at a couple things that have happened recently, such as like the Brian Burns trade. I think last year there was a couple things that he you know, had gotten pretty solid info on. So here's what he said. He said, of course, there's a golden rule in NFL draft reporting not to buy into info you hear in the last week when misdirection is the highest. I'm breaking the rule. He said, after a bunch of calls since Thursday, I believe that Drake May is the Giants' most likely QB pick of the top four, not saying he's their number one ranked QB. He said, I think they'd be willing to trade up for him, but sounds like Patriots and Commanders aren't moving. I think they would strongly consider trading down if J.J. McCarthy is sat there at number six and Broncos and Vikings want to trade up, but he would be in play at six if offers are not strong, which I'll talk about in a second. I find very interesting. And then he said, I'd still bet four QBs go in the top five picks, and so the Giants end up with a great wide receiver. I'd watch Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. And then he said, This is interesting. I also saw this as well. Daniel Jeremiah actually left out the Giants of the J.J. McCarthy team list of the teams that was interested in J.J. McCarthy. And it caught his attention, Dunleavy. It also caught my attention because, you know, obviously all these times, you know, people have been talking about how much the Giants like J.J. McCarthy, how interested they are in him. Could that all be smoke? Since Daniel Jeremiah, pretty plugged in guy in the NFL space, at least from what it appears. So it'll definitely be interesting to see what happens there. But the main thing I'm interested in is that they're willing to trade down at six if there's another team interested in J.J. McCarthy, but they're also willing to take the player at six. And I think that's always a weird thing, right? Because if you like a guy, you're not trading down. If you like him enough, you're like, I'm not trading down. He's my pick. I'm running to the commissioner to, you know, submit it. I'm a little confused how that works. So I don't know if he's hearing conflicting things and that's just how he wrote about it, or that is really the case, which would be very interesting. It would not leave me super confident in the Giants' decision-making. But just wanted to read that all out. Josh, any thoughts on that?
I'm going to leave everyone with one thought, and that is keep an eye and an ear out for that trade-up for quarterback Drake May of North Carolina as we head into our New York Giants mock draft 3.0. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. So for everyone listening, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back here on the Giant Take Podcast when we return our final 2024 New York Giants mock draft. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to this episode of the Giant Take Podcast. New York Giants 2024 NFL mock draft 3.0 with a twist with the trade, like I said. And we're going to start and get right into it as we normally do. Round one, pick four. I thought we had the sixth pick, Alex. What's going on here? That's right. A trade in the first round. Last time we had Michael Penix going to the New York Giants late in the first round, trading back into the first round to pick the quarterback. This time we get a quarterback bright and early. Pick six, pick 70 in the third round, and then a third and a fifth round pick next year. Traded to the Arizona Cardinals for pick four in this year's draft and pick 162 in the fourth round. And with that move up of two slots, the Giants get their quarterback of the future, quarterback Drake May out of North Carolina. Alex, I want to start, but I do want to go to you because you did make the trade originally, so I do want to get your thoughts on how this all went down. Go ahead.
Yeah, so obviously the clear top three that went was it was Caleb Williams, then Jaden Daniels. The Patriots end up going J.J. McCarthy, And then the Giants see an opportunity, obviously, with the Cardinals. And the Cardinals, obviously, not really looking at a QB, which I do think would be interesting. Imagine they do take a QB, because obviously Kyler Murray, a solid quarterback, but definitely not someone who I think is unmovable. Imagine they did that and just, you know, kind of totally surprised everyone. But who knows? In this scenario, we're assuming they're not going to do that. They are looking at a receiver. They want to trade down. They want one of those top two receivers. So moving down only two spots is a lot more convincing for them. The Giants like Drake May, as we talked about a little bit in the intro, you know, according to Ryan Dunleavy, according to a ton of different sources. And Drake May, he's really a great prospect. I mean, I'll get into him now because I kind of explained why the Giants did what they did. A really good athletic, you know, really good athletic ability. He's got good size. He's 6'4". You know, he's got really good speed as well, which is something that I guess isn't like super noticeable, but it's definitely something you do see flashes of in his game. He's got really great arm strength. He can throw outside the numbers. He can kind of move out of the pocket, you know, make those, you know, off platform throws. And he's relatively accurate as well. The only thing is that, you know, he struggles a little bit with pre-snap reads and just kind of figuring that side of the game out. And of course, as you develop into the NFL, that comes with coaching and that comes with experience. So hopefully something he can improve on. But I'll send this to Josh with the rest about him.
Yeah, I just have quick kind of pros for each of these players that we ended up drafting in this mock draft. And I'm going to make it super quick for Drake May. It's the arm strength. It's the accuracy alongside the arm strength. And also his frame. Drake May is 6'4", 230 pounds, I believe. And that is very good for a quarterback size. And, you know, able to kind of stay up when defenders and edge rushers and defensive tackles and linebackers are trying to get him down. When you have a 6'4 frame over 200 pounds, you're going to have a hard time getting that guy to the ground. In 2023, which actually 2022, actually, I'll start with that because that was his better year. He had almost over 4,000 yards passing, almost 40 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. And then 2023, 3,600 yards passing, 24 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. And also, he's a little bit of a threat running the ball as well, 450 yards rushing and 9 touchdowns. So again, with this pick, we lose our third round pick. So just be mindful of that when we go into the third round. But then we have one in the fourth to keep your eye and ear out for. So again, just so everyone, you know, gets it notched in here.
In the fifth, 162 is in the fifth.
162 is in the fifth. I think it's a late fourth. Oh, no. Sorry, we have another pick in the fourth round.
By the way, just making, I'm not sure the Giants would receive another pick in this year's draft, but I kind of made the trade in a way, so we had the same number of picks. You know, I don't know how the trade's actually going to go, but it's just another late round guy that we get to talk about, which I think is always a good thing for this mock. So I just wanted to
run through the trade one more time. So it's round one, pick four, we receive. Pick 6, pick 70, a third and a fifth next year go to the Cardinals. We get 4 and 162 in the fifth round, as Alex just clarified. Okay, a lot of confusing stuff there. Not really. Anyway, round 2, pick 47. So the Giants get their quarterback in the first round by trading up. They still have that pick in the pick 47 in the second round. What do they do with that? They get their wide receiver. Wide receiver Troy Franklin in Oregon, I think at this point in the draft, is pretty good. You know, Franklin is projected to go maybe early second round, late first round if wide receivers are really flying. So to get this prospect later than expected is pretty good. Alex, anything else on him?
Yeah. I mean, I was just going to say elite speed with him. He only ran I'm saying only, of course, this is a blistering quick time, but only a 4.41 40, which is, I think, a little bit slow for what you see on his tape, actually. But a very, very quick player, especially down the field with his long speed. He's a really good route runner as well. He has a pretty good yard after catch ability, good agility as well, along with the speed, despite being 6'3". The negatives for him, contested catch guy, not going to be what you're looking at, despite that 6'3", tall frame. It's just not something that you really see. One other thing, just like he's not the best run blocker. He gets beaten a lot when he's asked to run block. And I know the Giants do ask the receivers to run block, you know, pretty frequently. So that would be something he needs to improve on as well. But such a minimal issue that I don't think that really changes anything, you know, at the receiver position for the Giants.
And along with what Alex was saying, elite speed and route running are the two pros that I have written down for Franklin. Along with his stats, 2022, 61 catches, 891 yards and 9 TDs. That improved in 2023 with 81 catches, so 20 more, over 1,000 yards receiving and 1,383, and 5 more touchdowns in this past season with 14. Okay, so no third round pick, right? We go from the second round, to the fourth round at pick 107. The Giants address another position of need. This one is offensive tackle Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame.
Yeah, Fisher, he's really like one of those interesting prospects because he played directly opposite of Joe Alt at Notre Dame. You know, a very, very good right tackle, but so overshadowed, I think, by Joe Alt that a lot of people aren't talking about him. But at this value in the fourth round, it's definitely really good. Someone who we even see mocked a little bit in the second sometimes, mostly the third round. He fell a little bit to the fourth here for us. Very good arm length. He's got good quickness and burst in the run game. He's a very, very good and physically imposing run blocker. He really you know, pushes people over, and he gets to the second level pretty well. And the only thing with him is that his footwork isn't great in the passing game, and that's something he's going to need to improve at. But, you know, a younger prospect as well, you know, as I believe only 21 years old at this current time for a tackle. And he's just been very, very good for Notre Dame. And really, one of the big pros for him is the fact that he went to Notre Dame. Obviously, O-line, university. So definitely a big positive for him. And I think he's a very solid player who really has gotten overshadowed, honestly, by Joe Alt. Not saying he's Joe Alt's level, but, you know, is a very, very solid player. And the Giants, you know, if they're not going to draft a tackle early, we don't know what Evan Neal is going to look like. We don't really have a lot of depth at that position. And you slot him in at right tackle, and who knows, he could be very, very solid for us.
So what I wrote down for him is something that, again, Alex mentioned already, but initial quickness and burst off the line of scrimmage, physical and imposing presence as a run blocker as well, and height and frame too. You got to mention it when you're talking about an offensive lineman. 6'6", 310 pounds. When you're 6'6", it's going to be hard for an edge rusher or a linebacker, again, or a defensive tackle to get past you when you're that tall and that wide of a frame. Stats, you can't really talk about that many stats for an offensive lineman, but he did start 12 games at right tackle. So for anyone who's interested at what position he might play in the NFL, especially with the Giants, that's why Alex picked him. And that's why we go from round 4 to round 5 here. Pick 162, it's that pick that we got from the Arizona Cardinals, I believe. Running back Marshawn Lloyd, USC. We're going from another draft need to another draft need here. I mean, that is what the NFL draft is for, right? So now we got quarterback checked off the list along with wide receiver, offensive tackle, and now a running back.
Yeah, at this point, Lloyd was pretty much the last running back that I was interested in this draft class. So I was very desperate to get him. Luckily, he fell right in our laps. And he's an interesting player, more of a actual Devin Singletary mold in terms of his size and play. So I think that's kind of helpful in terms of, you know, having someone who can kind of develop off of Singletary and then hopefully move off of him, because obviously Singletary is not the long-term solution at running back. But yeah, Lloyd, he's really, really quick. His acceleration particularly allows him to really get by the line of scrimmage very quickly. And if he can make a quick cut, he can be gone. He's got that long run, home run speed. You know, he's got, you know, some pretty decent potential also as a pass catcher. You see flashes of it. USC didn't use him a ton in the passing game, but there's definitely flashes. And then the only negative with him is that he doesn't really have as much power just due to his frame. And then sometimes you'll see there's open gaps and he just misses them. And that's something that's not super great either. And then obviously pass protection is not going to be great, again, given his size. But for someone at this point in the draft, he's got a lot of positives and a lot of upside.
I'll go into his stats. Right. Well, before I go into his stats, I feel like I'm just repeating Alex. But yeah, great acceleration and burst and the home run long speed.
You got to reemphasize, Josh.
For his growth there. In 2022, 111 carries, 573 yards, 9 touchdowns. And then in the passing game, he was worked in too as well. 18 catches, 176 yards, and 2 touchdowns. In 2023, only had 5 more carries than the previous year, but 300 more yards rushing at 820. Touchdowns stayed the same at 9, and then pass catching a little bit more. Less catches, but a little bit more yards. 13 catches for 232 yards. And we move only 4 picks now, staying in round 5, going to the defensive side of the ball, which is our first pick, by the way, on the defense in this draft. On the defensive end, I should say, or whatever you want to call it. Round 5, pick 166, an edge rusher in Cedric Johnson out of LSU. Or LSU, just completely switching SEC teams out of Ole Miss.
Yeah. I mean, at this point in the draft, Josh, you mentioned first defensive player. I was desperately trying to get a corner earlier in the draft. Just nothing really fell at the right value. Still nothing fell at the right value. But definitely want to go on the defense side of the ball. Obviously, Brian Burns has been added. You still have Azeez Ojulari, you have Kayvon Thibodeau, but you can always use another edge rusher. I forget who said that. I think it was Dave Gettleman. He said you can never have enough edge rushers. I know we probably shouldn't be going after the Dave Gettleman ideology, but I think in this particular case, he might be right. Cedric Johnson, an interesting player by the fact that he's a little bit on the short side at just under 6'3", but he still has a pretty good frame. And, you know, bulky build that allows him to really, you know, win with power at times. But his main way of winning is with speed. He's so quick around the edge, ran a 4.6 3.40. You know, he's very savvy with just such quick get off. And that's something that you really like to see and will give him already a pretty high floor at the NFL level. You know, his physicality, you know, we say he has some power, but he doesn't really leverage that power as effectively as he could. against some of these bigger O-linemen, some of which we're seeing in the NFL draft that are going so high. And then his hand use, his technique at times in the pass rush department is just not up to scratch. And that's why he's sitting here in the fifth round. So obviously you're not going to get a perfect player, but a very solid guy who I think could be a nice situational pass rusher for the Giants.
And again, he's out of Ole Miss. I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking about the wide receiver pair of Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. too much right now, and that's why LSU is on my mind. But again, Cedric Johnson out of Ole Miss.
Close enough, right? No.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just mixing up SEC teams down south. It's all the same, right? No, not at all, actually.
Yeah,
but for
people
Johnson,
are gonna yell at us.
People are going to yell at us. We apologize for all you SEC fans, especially Ole Miss fans. Fans of Johnson, because we're fans of Johnson too. That's why we have him picked here. Has the speed to win around the edge as a pass rusher. Good frame and thick build to go along with good movement skills. His stats over the past two seasons in 2022, 32 overall tackles, 4 sacks. In 2023, had 40 tackles, 3 passes deflected, 5.5 sacks, and 1 forced fumble. So you see the difference how this past season he kind of became an all-around player, getting a bunch of different stats in a bunch of different areas. And the final pick in our final 2024 mock draft, round 6, pick 183, tight end Eric Aull out of Iowa.
Yeah, so at this point in the draft, I'm just looking best player available. I'm still desperate for a corner. No good corners are there. They keep getting taken right before my pick. So I was kind of upset about that. You know, Giants really need a corner, and something I wasn't able to get in this draft, unfortunately, but you can't win at every position, clearly. And if there's no guy that falls at the right spot for the Giants, I don't expect them to take a corner either. So I just kind of acted as if I was them, if that makes sense. All he's got really good hands. He's a pretty good route runner as well. Doesn't have the most like amazing athletic ability, especially his like long speed. He's not going to beat anyone over the top. You know, his routes against zone coverage, he gets a little bit confused, which is something you can see. But in man-to-man, he can definitely, you know, beat someone, beat a linebacker, whatever it may be. And he's got pretty good yards after catch. Like, he wins those tough yards. When you're, say, 2nd and 10, and he catches an 8-yard pass, he'll get you those extra 2 yards. And that's something, that grit and determination is something that you're kind of really looking for in a player, you know, down lower in the draft, because, you know, these are guys that are kind of back into the roster, fighting for a roster spot, and you want those really gritty guys to fight every day in camp to make the roster. I think Aull is one of those guys.
Yeah, and a Michigan transfer after he stayed at Michigan for 4 years, didn't really do anything there, wasn't playing, so instead decided for his final year to transfer to Iowa, which he does have good yards after catch, Allison, quick burst. I mean, that's why he's a 6th-round pick, not much to show for it. Only 21 catches this year for about 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. So I feel like that's what you're looking at here late in this 6th round. And that does it for our final mock draft of the 2024 offseason. I'll go through one more time. Round 1, pick 4 due to a trade, quarterback Drake May of North Carolina. Round 2, pick 47, wide receiver Troy Franklin out of Oregon. I'm struggling today. Round 4, pick 107, offensive tackle Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame. Round 5, pick 162, running back Marshawn Lloyd out of USC. Round 5, pick 166, edge rusher Cedric Johnson out of Ole Miss. Round 6, pick 183, tight end Eric Aull, Iowa. All right, that's it. That's all we got here. It's tough. You know, we could do as many mock drafts as we really want to, but I don't know how productive that would be for you listening and for us to wasting our time just run through scenarios, because there's only one correct draft, and that is what the GMs decide, not us, unfortunately, as much as we would want to decide the NFL draft outcome. Alex, anything else before we wrap this up?
Yeah, well, I guess we selected in these Giants mocks 18 different players, if you think about it that way. We've done 3 7-round mocks, 6 picks each. So interested to see if we get any of them right. Josh, did we get one last year? I don't remember. I feel like we did, like, one player, because I think we did 3 last year. We did 4 the year before. We must have gotten one at least in the past couple years. I have to imagine in one of ours. Well, we had Banks last year.
Yeah.
We did a mock with Banks.
We did.
We also had a mock.
Go ahead.
We had John Michael Schmitz too. So we had a couple, I believe.
No, I think we had the one last year with Banks and JMS going in that next pick.
In the first two, like in the
right
order.
And then we
were
getting comments saying, no way JMS falls that far. And then we got him. And then we were saying, hey, maybe we're draft experts over here. But I remember the same draft. Yes, we got Banks and JMS correct last year in one of our mock drafts. And it was the same one, too. It wasn't like separate where it was Banks and one, and it was back to back. Yeah.
Yeah. I really want what I would make me really happy is I spend a lot of time like trying to figure out these late round guys because I know the early round guys, of course, first couple of rounds. But I really want to see like our 6th round pick be, for example, like Eric All. Like that would make me so happy.
Yeah.
Maybe not the most happy, but pretty happy.
Yeah. And then I feel like also late round, you just kind of go hoping that they're at big name schools that at least you know of. Where there's like film on them that you can go and watch later, because if you're picking a guy and they're out of, you know, some D3 school or either a D1 school with like a low that are not in the SEC or the Big Ten or the ACC, then you know there's a problem. No offense to the other conferences that I mentioned, by the way. We love you, Pac-12, non-existent, and Big 12, right? That's a conference. Mountain West. All of you, all the college conferences from the Giant Take podcast.
All I want is one of our day 3 picks to be one of our picks, and that would make me very happy and give me great joy on draft night or on Saturday when you're just sitting there waiting for 4 or 5 hours, whatever it is, 6 hours, 7. How long is day 3 of the draft?
Pretty long.
I'm trying to remember. It's long, right?
It's like noon to 6, something like that.
Yeah, it's like 6 hours, so... while I'm sitting there for 6 hours or whatever it may be, it would be nice if one of those guys, and then maybe I like sit up off my couch for a second. That'd be very nice for me.
Well, how about this transition, Alex? All my co-host is talking about here is what he wants for a late round pick to go.
True.
To something that we talked about, but I'm sure all you want listening, since we already wrapped up 3.0 mock draft, is for me to wrap up this episode. So that's what I'm going to do right now.
No one wants to hear me yap about what late round prospects we want. No? Okay. I'm just kidding. Or am
Thank
I?
You. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Giant Take podcast. We appreciate it if you've gotten this far to our goofiness at this point. If you did, hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, wherever you're listening. Rate us 5 stars on those first two platforms that I mentioned as well. We're on Twitter, we're on TikTok, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. I'm going to keep saying TikTok until the U.S. government bans it. At the Giant Take Pod, Alex on Twitter at Inorian23. I'm on Twitter at JoshDolo29. Listen, if you're into the hoops, might want to watch the Knicks game tonight as they hopefully take a 2-0 series lead at the Garden. But
is Embiid playing or no?
Embiid is injured. I don't know if he's playing. I don't know if that's confirmed, but he did get... I know he's struggling on and off from this injury. He re-aggravated it yesterday or 2 days ago now in game 1.
Very good game last night between the Pelicans and Thunder, if anyone watched. That was
a really
nail-biter down to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially, which is, I was surprised how good the Pelicans played with how good OKC is.
Yeah. Well, Pelicans are a solid team. I think with Zion, they're pretty formidable, but obviously no Zion, so... It'll be interesting. Celtics won, which I heard about a lot here in Boston, sadly. Everyone was going crazy. I don't know what they expected them to lose to the 8th seed Heat without Jimmy Butler, but whatever. Anyway.
Oh, my God. We got to go. This is bad.
Sorry.
We're becoming an NBA pod. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Everything I just said will be in the description down below, and hopefully Alex doesn't go and talk about the MLB next. Go ahead. Which I know he won't, so it's fine.
No, I won't be doing that. Thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode. We hope everyone's very excited for draft week. Keep your eye on all the social platforms for the rumors if that's your thing, or just sit back and relax and wait till Thursday night, whatever is right for you. Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you next time heading towards the draft. Peace.